Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show, final 45 here on a Wizards game day. Dave Johnson and company have you covered from Philadelphia, coming up starting at 6:45 on the pregame. And we've got you covered right now. It's time for our Pick 6 at 6, a Wednesday tradition here. We get to hear from Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels. Most important news of the day. Let's get after it, shall we?
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, let's fire away, shall we, at the biggest storylines of the day.
Number one.
And there is no bigger one than the injury statuses of all of the relevant players that you want to know about. Tyler Biadasz, Marshawn Lattimore, et cetera, on down the list. And Dan Quinn was able to deliver some very good news.
Rest days, but after that, we have a couple guys that are on some vet rest days, but after that, everybody's involved to some level today, so that's a good thing, all hands on deck. So we had some vet rest days of Zach, Cleland, Dante, and
Terry, the last name there, as in McLaurin, he is out resting, both just the fact that he's a vet and he gets to do that, and he also has a bit of an ankle injury he's been battling the last couple weeks. But guys like Fowler, Ertz, they've been getting rest all season long, Cleveland Furl as well. So that means Marshawn Lattimore back on the practice field. That means Tyler Biadasz, Cornelius Lucas back on the practice field. Obviously, the one big one that is not going to be back at any point this season, and it's big in terms of special teams, is Tyler Owens, the undrafted free agent safety, who has been killing it on special teams all year. They placed him on IR to activate Austin Eckler last week. So outside of Owens, who's done and down for the year, everybody back today, that is very, very good news. It means that you have your options at right tackle. If Andrew Wiley's banged up or one of the guys goes down to the games, because Brandon Coleman, by the way, out there today, he was also banged up in the last game. Lucas is available. Fantastic. Biadasz, he's just flat out better than Michael Dieter, and everybody else plays better too when that dude is out there. So that's all the offensive pieces. And then what more do I have to say about Marshawn Lattimore? He's the best cover corner they have. He allows them to do a lot of other stuff. And there's a 50-50 chance that he'll fight Mike Evans, which brings us to
number two.
And the competitive relationship between Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore. First and foremost, do we even see Lattimore on Sunday? Here was DQ on what he needs to see from Lattimore in practice to get out there and make this matchup that we're all hyping up even happen in the first place.
He's hitting all the markers in a good space, so we'll have a jog-through practice today, and then we'll be full speed back at it tomorrow. So he's hit all the markers up to this point, and I anticipate that trending through the week. But tomorrow and Friday, specifically tomorrow, will be one that's more speed.
And, of course, on the other side of that rivalry is not just a guy that Lattimore is familiar with, but someone that Dan Quinn is very familiar with. As DQ faced him twice a year, did he, Mike Evans, when he was down in Atlanta as the head coach. And he's got a lot of respect for the future Hall of Famer down in Tampa.
I think just a remarkable competitor. I think, if I'm not mistaken, when I even coached in college, my first game coaching at Florida might have been against him. And in the SEC, yes. And I've just followed his career. It's not just the length. There's lots of guys that are taller or longer, but it's the competitive will, the routes, the discipline, the competitiveness, all of those things. You know, when you're looking at sustained success, you better have the whole thing. And he certainly does.
Sure does, which is why he's got 1,000 yards in 11 straight seasons. And while Dan Quinn has a ton of respect for Mike Evans, TBD if Marshawn Lattimore does. Again, the long history there, played twice a year. Lattimore's traditionally done a pretty good job, held Evans below his career averages, but they've also gotten fisticuffs a couple of times. Been some pretty significant fights on the field between those two. And could that actually, like, literally disrupt the game on Sunday? That was what Dan Quinn was asked today.
I don't think it impact the flow of the game, but there's definitely matchups all over the field that make a difference in winning and losing. And these are two elite competitors, and it's honestly what makes like coaching so much fun, you know. And those aren't the only two that are going to be absolutely battling for it. It may be the only ones that the networks may show, but let me tell you, there'll be a lot of guys that are really going to go for it, and that's what it does make that part fun.
I tend to think if Sam Cosmi and Kalijah Kansi get into it, like there'll be NBC will show it. We'll have to text Tirico and make sure, but I'm pretty sure. But a pregame or a before the game, before the Bucks offense takes the field for the first series, potential report on it. Well, no, there's not footage of anyone else on these two teams fighting, as far as I know. There's plenty of Evans and Lattimore.
Number three.
Just hey, it's playoff week. Last year, we weren't doing a pick six on Wild Card Weekend, getting you ready with Ron Rivera and Sam Howell sound bites, all due respect, for a playoff game. No. That's reserved for this year. DQ and Jaden getting ready to go. And how does the fact that this is a playoff week affect the preparation?
No. In fact, just the opposite, Ben, to where I went into practice, into the first meeting Monday, saying exactly what you had. Thought some, let's change some things up. I thought we'd really, you know, maybe we'll practice at night this week. And they just kind of looked at me, you know, head tilted. I said, no, man, I'm just bullshit. We're going to do exactly what we do. I said, I've been saying this for 17 weeks. It's, you know, a process of winning that you go through to get ourselves ready, and we have to work really hard to get ourselves ready. But the process of that, which I wanted them to feel, should feel exactly the same. I recognize, you know, there's energy that goes with that, and that's a good thing, you know, like coming back from a long flight and that on Monday, like there was energy in the workouts and stuff to go. And so use that, have it as a balance, but also knowing that it's there. And so it is a little bit of a turbo boost that you get this time of year, and you should use it to your advantage.
I love that. It's kind of a, hey, are you guys paying attention from Dan Quinn? Considering that he has been so consistent in his messaging this year, to walk in and be like, all right, guys, playoffs, we're going to practice at night. We're going to do this all differently. And the guys to be like, what? He's like, good. I'm glad you're paying attention. Of course, we're not doing it differently. So really, Dan, you're trying to tell me nothing changes during the playoffs? Not a thing?
The energy that goes into the week, you can feel it. It's palpable. And so I wanted to make sure for most of the guys, normalize that. You should feel this. And if you don't, that's okay too. It's not like you're, you know, don't have a pulse. But I didn't want any of that to manifest itself into doing anything that's too different. Use it for energy. Use it for the game plan. Use it for something specific that you want to improve on to go. And as it goes through the week, there's a heightened awareness that usually comes in. Let's go back through this again, and it mostly comes from the players, which is a good thing, that they the game plan right, get your bodies right, so you can really perform at your best. And you want to do all the preparation you can, Chick. So when you do kick that thing off on Sunday night, man, I put the work in, I'm ready to go get down.
Let's get down. That'll be on Sunday. Coming up next here on the Hoffman Show, the back half of our pick six, including some perspective from Dan Quinn, a guy who obviously has suffered immense playoff heartbreak. I think we all know what we're talking about there, but he's also experienced the ultimate joy. He's won Super Bowls as a coordinator in Seattle. So what's his perspective on what it's like to have another playoff opportunity, and specifically one in year one as a head coach the second time around? You'll hear more from DQ and some from Jaden Daniels next. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live as well on the free Odyssey app. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Chicken how you want it at Wawa with customizable crispy or roasted chicken sandwiches. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. We're in the middle of our pick six at six, where we give you some of the biggest headlines and storylines of the day out of Ashburn. And we pick up with number four, hearing from Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn.
Number three.
That's not the right button.
Number four.
All right, so Dan was asked about his perspective on playoff opportunities. And obviously, Dan has been in the playoffs quite a bit as a coach, both a head coach, and famously, there's one particular opportunity, that Super Bowl that he lost to New England, that was going great until it wasn't. He's also been on the right end of that with his experience in Seattle. But he also has seen go from that team that was in the Super Bowl to a getting fired a couple years later. He understands how fleeting these opportunities are. And so the perspective was good to hear from DQ today.
It is. And that's really the way that we look at it. And I can recognize that maybe externally there weren't expectations. That's understandable. I think when I got here, I never used the word rebuild. I thought there was a recalibration that would take place. But it is all hands on deck, you know, when you get to these moments. And I wanted that moment to feel these guys have earned that right to go battle for it. And when you get into a tournament setting, you want to be really ready. So that's why I was pumped to have, you know, the guys being able to, you know, get into practice and get the work that we need today. But I haven't looked too far ahead or behind with the group, man, and just saying, like, this is, you know, our time to go play like we are capable of. And we're going to play well this weekend. And that's something we've been digging in to go for. And, you know, the preparation, the mindset, like, we're ready to go fight. And this is an excellent team that we're going against.
I love that confidence from Dan Quinn. Not we're going to win. We're going to play well. Because that's all you can prepare to do. And if that's the message this week, I think this team can show up and play really well and just focus on doing that. Don't focus on the result. Focus on doing the right things from a process standpoint to get you there, and the result will ultimately come. If you get the result, the win, that'd be pretty fun. I think the city would go crazy. Certainly something that Jaden Daniels can only imagine at this point, because he's never lived it. But considering all the experiences that he has given Washington fans this year, from Hail Marys to a litany of other game winners, what would it mean to give a playoff win to this city and to this fan base that hasn't had one since 2005?
I think it would just, for the fan base, you know, everything they've been through and their time being here. I just think for us, it's like, man, we just go and try to win a football game. We'll let everybody else have the joy of, you know, stuff like that. But, I mean, the fan base deserves to be able to cheer for the team in the playoffs. And, you know, we appreciate the support through it all.
Again, good perspective from Jaden. Like, we just got to go do it. But everyone else can have the emotional roller coaster. That said, I do think he is someone that will enjoy a win. Not like he's going to go out and go crazy or whatever. But, like, clearly we've seen this guy after wins, like, enjoy it. Be really happy and not just get so bogged down in the process where it actually strips the whole point, which is to have fun, to enjoy it, to have that experience. But it's not something that he'll really, I think, focus on too much before the game. As for one other piece of perspective from Daniels, it's been a long season because all NFL seasons are. So what has he learned about himself as a player, as a person, during this rookie campaign?
I think just the I always knew I had that, but just the drive and the hunger to get better each and every day, and really just learn different things and being a sponge. You know, he's got people in the locker room that's been playing at a high level for years and years to come. You know, I want to be one of those people in the future to continue to play at a high level. And, you know, it's kind of different things that you learn from different individuals in a different point in time in their careers. No matter if they had the success or they're in the league, they learn so much. So just being a sponge, I think that's probably the main thing I learned from myself this year.
Jaden has grown a lot since I think back to talking to him on draft day and what a whirlwind that day was when I was back there in Detroit and the conversation that we had then. I think about what he was like in training camp, where he had kind of been like, okay, I see how this goes, and had gone through the spring program. And I think about, you know, after week one and the way he played in week one compared to where he is now. And it's just, it's a lot of learning, and you have to embrace that. And he certainly has, which makes looking back at week one kind of fun.
Number five.
Let's look back at week one, or last, at least let Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels share their perspective looking back at that week one football game. And how much can you actually take from it? As I think one of the big questions we're going to try to answer over the next couple of days here as we preview the actual matchup, because these two teams are so different in so many ways. But Dan Quinn, you know, he's the head coach. 4 months to the day since you played them. How different is your team, and what can you even take from that week one matchup?
Well, I think there's things you take. It's a full circle moment. You don't usually get to play somebody at the start of a season, the start of a second season. They absolutely got the best of us on that day. And so it's a good measuring stick to see, you know, how much we've improved. And so they're an excellent team, and clearly on that day showed it.
Sure did. They beat Washington pretty handily, and there was a lot of stuff that I think needed to get cleaned up. But there's also a lot of stuff that got cleaned up by 2-3 weeks in. Some of the big things that I'm remembering from that game is the missed tackles. And Washington has actually been one of the better tackling teams by and large throughout this season. So like that was something that was really about it just being early in the season and the reps being needed to had by a bunch of different players. And they got them, and they've been pretty solid in that department. Obviously, Jaden is a completely different player as well, and that's changed the whole dynamic of what their offense is. And if Jaden thinks back to that week one game, he doesn't have to get very far into it to see that he's going to be a different player. If you'll remember the first play of that game was a kind of wacky, weird thing on paper. When you look at it, you're like, play aborted or throw aborted, fumble, kicked out of bounds. He tried to throw a swing pass to Brian Robinson, and it was a backwards pass, and B-Rob missed it because it was very inaccurate, and it was a very difficult catch, slash an impossible catch, and then B-Rob wound up bumbling the ball out of bounds. So, Jaden's come a long way since that.
I mean, I watched the game again, and it's crazy just to see the growth over not even like a year. And you just learn something different each and every game. It was just something new. You just get more comfortable. But if I got that first pass back, I would for sure.
Yeah, I would say so. It was not good. It technically wasn't even a pass, though. Technically, it was a fumble. So one career play, one career fumble. Luckily, it's been a lot better on the record books since then.
Number six.
Last but not least, overall, you know, this could, hate to say it, but like if Jaden, outside of locker cleanout day, this could be Jaden's last podium session of the season if things don't go the way they want on Saturday or on Sunday. Hopefully, he's got another one next Wednesday. We're doing this again. Very much rooting for that. But just in case, and because he's going to the playoffs, got asked to do a lot of reflecting today. And one of the things that he had mentioned in a previous answer was that this is just a cool place to work. And so someone followed up and was like, hey, when did you realize that this place that for so long had a reputation of being just the dregs of the NFL, that it actually pretty quickly had turned into a pretty cool place to go to work every day?
I think I learned that pretty early throughout the draft process. I remember when I had like interviews and meetings with them, like we didn't really talk about football. We just talked about life, and they were just making sure I was all right. Because they know how stressful this time period could be. So they were really just checking on with the person. So I knew if they called my name, I knew it would be a good spot for me to land.
Sure was. And it makes me think back to one of the silliest conversation points of the draft process. And I hope that as we move forward, less and less media people think, or less and less media people talk about this place, talk about Washington, talk about the Commanders in a way that in any way suggests that they're the old team, right? That they were a bumbling bunch of buffoons who didn't know anything. That perhaps when they do something, one, it's probably going to be done well, and two, if it's something that maybe is a little outside the norm, they might actually know what they're doing, and they get the benefit of the doubt on that. And I think back to the Topgolf discourse. But yeah, remember that? What a throwback that is. Think about the Topgolf discourse during the draft process. And like, I can't believe they brought them all to Topgolf and the last day that they were allowed to do visits. And they just got a bunch of guys together and were like, hey, we're just going to go and let you guys relax. They had watched all the tape at that point. They had gotten those guys on the board. They had talked all the football. They knew who they were as players. They wanted to, from an evaluation standpoint, see how they interacted with each other, see what kind of competitors they were, see if they were, hey, are you willing to try? Are you willing, or you just want to sit back? And there's not necessarily even a correct answer. You know, some guys might be like, you know, I don't want to get hurt swinging a golf club, so I'm gonna do this. Other guys are gonna be like, ah, whatever, I don't go make a fool of myself. Everyone's personality is different, but they wanted to observe all of that. And they also just wanted to get a reputation with the players to be like, hey, this is a cool place to be. We care about you as people. We know you've been through a stressful thing. So like, hey, Topgolf on us. Go have a pretzel, swing a club if you want to, be amongst the fellas, have a good time. And they took a bunch of guys out there and did just that. And Jaden Daniels, after that, there was like this whole discourse of, was he upset with them because they had other quarterbacks there and all this stuff. And it turned out that that was not the case. It was perhaps not explained well, but Jaden didn't have any hard feelings. And obviously things have been great in terms of the relationship, but people reacted like that was the craziest thing they'd ever heard. Like, oh, how are they going to do a whole entire draft evaluation on a Topgolf visit? It's like, they're not, you morons. But Jaden, think about that answer he just gave. He's like, I knew pretty early that as we talked and we had our discussions that this place was different. This place was different than the other discussions I was having, and this would be a great place to be. And you think of how they've maximized an under-talented roster, it's because they invest in them as people like that. And because they get to know them, they then can put them in the best positions to succeed, not just based off of watching tape, but of understanding what motivates them and getting that true best out of them on and off the field. So I thought that was pretty cool. And that's going to wrap up our pick six. So a cool way to wrap up the pick six. What more could you ask for? I know what more you could ask for. Real things real people said in a real microphones. Some pretty, pretty good clips from around the internet today. We unload the clip, if you will, proverbially speaking, next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. Wrapping up here on the Hoffman Show, Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Anthony, what day is it? It's Wednesday? Yeah, because I got this stupid
feels
wheel
like
next
Thursday.
To me. It does feel a little Thursday-y. So tomorrow, Pizzuta at 4:30. What else? Do we have 5 o'clock booked yet?
I reached out. I have not received the response, so I'm patiently waiting.
Okay, so we might have someone from Tampa. We also are working on a pretty big name guest that is also broadcasting the game. We're actually working on multiple angles of the broadcast, both radio and television. So we're gonna have that situation sorted out by tomorrow. But we'll have some great perspective on the game as we start to dive into the X's and O's. I'm gonna definitely be a lot more ready to talk about everything. As we'll have done take command tomorrow morning. So be able to talk through with Logan, which is always like the best prep. Hey, could you spend an hour just talking football, talking specifics with the smartest person you know before the show? Sure. And in fact, we'll record it so you guys can listen. It's called Take Command. It's kind of how that goes, Anthony. But I've already started watching. And actually, speaking of watching stuff in preparation for this game, I actually want to tomorrow to open the show. I think because in part we're gonna do this to open the show because it's the only time we can do it during the show. But I think we're gonna pull up my first and 10. So the 10 observations that I made post like Monday, week one, Commanders are sitting there at 0-1, lost to Tampa. What did I say? And how much of that wound up being true throughout the rest of the season? How much of that is even relevant to what the current iteration of the team is? I think we should do that tomorrow. I think that would be fun.
Definitely. Definitely a lot of turnovers, some changes, teams looking different, impact players. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm definitely looking forward to that. So we'll do that tomorrow to open the show. Dan Pizzuta from the 33rd team. We'll have someone who's either calling the game or covering the game from the Tampa side of it at 5. Never read the comments at 5:30. You'll hear from Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt at 6. And hey, looks like the rundown's done, Anthony, for tomorrow. Love that. Friday, 4:30, also fantastic spot. Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus is going to join us. So looking forward to that. We're just loading up as much as we can. We'll see what else or who else winds up on the guest list. As for right now, though, we wrap up the show ahead of Wizards and Sixers tonight with Real Things Real People Said into real microphones.
Real things.
We're not going to live Suck this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Oh, Anthony, as we're doing our hand signals there to make sure that I know what time the show ends, we got to figure out, did you ever find out? A lot of NFL players this weekend were doing a wacky first down thing. Yeah, they cover their mouth, and then they point first down and do like a floppy wrist. What's that? Do we ever find out what that's from?
So I found out who started it, and it was Cam Ward in Miami. I still don't know what it is.
Is he going snorkeling? Did I just sound like the oldest, whitest version of myself? Maybe.
Yeah, I still gotta figure it out. Maybe that'll be my celebration for next week when I go to Flag Football Nationals.
Maybe. I don't think you can do it unless you find out what the reasoning is, though. Dudes just copying each other with no other investigation?
Uh-oh.
Yes? You say, uh-oh, are we about to get in trouble for doing it?
I'm doing my Googles right now.
Okay.
And so the question has been asked. I'm just looking for the answer now. So hopefully by the end of the segment, I'll have the answer.
Okay. In the meantime, let's get back to the task at hand, real things, real people said, into real microphones. Josh Allen was asked today a question that Jaden Daniels was asked today. Jaden asked about Cliff. Josh asked about Joe Brady. Both OCs have been requested for head coaching interviews. So, hey, Josh Allen, your offensive coordinator important to you at all this season?
Josh, Joe has been getting some looks here, interview requests, I guess. You've been through this before, but what's he meant to you this season?
Nothing. He hasn't done anything for us. Team should stay away from him.
I love that. I think that's a funny bit from Josh Allen. Nothing. Nope. You don't want him. We'll keep him here. He's lucky that we pay him. He doesn't do anything. It's good stuff from Josh Allen. Good thinking on his feet. That's why the guy's going to be the MVP right there. Nothing, Anthony. You're deep in research land.
Oh, because I was listening to Cam Ward explain where he got it from, and he said he got it from an old player. Well, another player from Western Kentucky. They were at practice, and he started doing it. And then Cam Ward was like, I think the defense had got a pick off from him, and they started doing it. And then he was like, well, I'm just going to blow it up. So we don't know what it stands for.
We're just down a rabbit hole now of nothingness. Great. Fantastic. Back to real things. Jeff Green, still in the league. Uncle Jeff, still balling. And balled hard enough that the Rockets commentator, throwback to yesterday, had to quote LiAngelo Ball's new song.
Kuzma, the contest. Rockets can get the lead back with a three on this trip. Here comes Jeff Green! Oh, baby, bend that corner, Jeff Green! Whoa!
Craig, I told you, you're going to hear this more and more and more.
I mean, I heard it when you pulled into the parking lot today.
Yeah, I purposely did that. I rolled down my windows, too. While it's 30 degrees outside.
Brick outside, and you're like, 30 degrees, bend that corner.
Whoa. My swerve, bend that corner. Oh, and look, there it is, Craig.
Speaking of the Ball brothers, a very excited reporter asked LaMelo Ball a question last night in Charlotte, and LaMelo Ball was very excited about it.
LaMelo, playing at home in front of a big crowd tonight. Obviously, it's awesome to get back in the win column, but do it at home in front of the crowd? How awesome was this tonight?
You know, it was great. How you got your voice like that? You got a real, real good voice, man.
Thank you.
Like, you do the reporting for sure. It's great. I like that. That was smooth. You know, it was fun, though. My guy.
Great soundbite, LaMelo. Really helped that young reporter who definitely sounds like he's 24 years old, fresh out of Syracuse. Like 2 years out, second job. Still trying a little bit too much to be the broadcaster guy.
There are some people, though, that do have unique voices. Like when I listen to Noah, it's like.
Yeah. Well, Noah's voice is not unique. It's because unique is one of one. Noah's two of two because he's a 3D print of his dad.
Yeah, that's fair. There was this kid named Zach Parnes. I used to call him The Voice. When he was at Syracuse with me, just because his voice, basically the reaction LaMelo gave that reporter, I gave to Zach. Because I'm just like, dude, how'd your voice get like this? Like, how?
I don't know. Some people are like, you have a great voice. Like, some people are like, oh, you do broadcasting? Like, oh, all right, that makes sense. And I'm like, I never know how to take that. I'm like, thanks, I guess. But I just talk. people are like, wait, is that like, oh, do the broadcast voice. I'm like, this is my voice. What do you want? Oh, and he shows the right. I mean, Kevin Harlan's, he's the ultimate. There's no way Kevin Harlan talks like that in real life.
Nah.
But then you meet Kevin Harlan, and he does it. He's the one that inspired this segment. All right, that's our show. Wizards, Sixers, speaking of great voices, Dave is next.